WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cakes. We're back out on the road. My next guest may be one of those guys. We're going to be at Catonsville next Friday, State Fair, El Guapo, and our friends at the Beaumont now have pit beef as well. We'll be talking to Evan, Keith, everybody out there. Looking forward to that. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have a handful of holiday cash drops. I am getting some of the new 50th anniversary wish boners. I'm going to have those sometime in February when they bring those out in March, so I'm looking forward to that. Also, our friends at Window Nation. Somewhere around here, I have my Window Nation, my bucket hat. I don't put the bucket hat on until spring, but the 866-90-NATION is the way to find Window Nation. You buy two, you get two free. They gave me that deal, so don't feel too special. But here's they're going to give you 5 years free financing. I didn't get that deal. I was getting cash up front, whatever. But special deal, 866-90-NATION. Hit them at Window Nation. This guy is also one of our friends, sponsors, partners. I don't know if I'm at the point where I'm going to call you a consigliere at this point, but kind of sort of that way. You can find him out of the front at BaltimorePositive.com. You can also find him at Web Connection, where, you know, I was going to talk Lamar with you and Ravens with you and how you did sports wagering last weekend. I was going to show you my new Van Halen Pacifica belt buckle, but apparently you've blocked this segment. You've told me in advance, as the chief digital officer here at WNST and Baltimore Positive, that we have something we're going to share with our audience. So if you're listening at an AM 1570 and you're not watching, or if you're listening to the podcast, Mike Rosenfeld, my chief digital officer, outsourced because I can't afford a real one, and I only get him a couple hours a week, and that's all I need. You're going to blow my mind, apparently, right? Like, this is right up there with LASIK surgery. There's a thing of things that blew my mind. The first time I went on the internet, the first time I saw John Mayer blew my mind. I'm thinking of things that blew my mind.
I hear you. Well, look, I'm in the business and I've been doing this for 28 years, and every maybe 3 to 5 years, there's just a major technology shift or new direction. And what we're going to talk about today is artificial intelligence, which is not a new term.
What if I have real intelligence?
That's, well, you
what
know,
does that mean? Yeah. What is artificial intelligence? I don't even know what it means.
Well, it's intelligence.
Right now, I sound like that old clip of what's his name on the Today Show saying, "What's the internet?" Right? I mean, right. I'm going to look back and laugh at this, right?
Well, I've always said I always hate when people give a definition, including in the definition the word that you're defining. But you asked, artificial intelligence is intelligence that's artificial, that's programmed, in this case, by programmers, to create an output that is not from a human, but comes across as being from a human.
So sort of like the Russian conservative patriot things were on Facebook 5 years ago, but only better?
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, that what I'm about to show you is probably, so think about, because you and I are about the same age, you know, we remember web crawler was like maybe the first search engine, and then Yahoo, and then Google.
I remember GeoCities, and you know, okay, and having a pay. Yeah. I remember all that, right?
So the company we're going to be talking about today is called OpenAI. It's San Francisco based. Elon Musk was on their board in 2019.
They got rid of him.
I don't know if he got rid of him or he stepped away.
Well, he got rid of me. I mean, he threw me off Twitter 6 weeks ago. I'm still trying to figure that out. So as my chief digital officer, if you can, anything you could do to help, let me know. All right.
Oh, sure. For sure.
Can we send him $8 and get a blue check? I don't know.
In 2019, this company I'm about to share with you got a $1 billion investment from Microsoft. So they're probably the Coke or Pepsi in their space. And before I show you what I'm going to show you, I have this disclaimer.
Okay.
I am not necessarily saying that I'm a fan of this. I'm a fan of this direction. Every time there's a shift and there's a technology where I'm like, this is cool, there's always a-holes out there who try to find ways in which to leverage it for bad.
Unlike this Van Halen belt buckle, that nothing ever could be bad with this, right? Like, ever.
No, that is the classic.
Yeah, man.
That is the classic.
This was the theme, by the way, is a Van Halen theme in regard to the Ravens this week. And it's probably going to be the headline of my next column, Ness, as I put this out. And it's Van Halen oriented. You ready? Where have all the good times gone? Right? You know what I mean? Right? So
not their worst cover of all. I mean, that was one up there as one of the better
where
covers.
Where have all the good times gone? Anyway, go ahead. So AI, and bring it back to this is going to be cooler than the Van Halen belt buckle. That's pretty
well,
cool.
I don't know. I'm a big Van Halen fan, but I think most of your listeners will think so. So what I'm going to do basically is I'm going to share my screen. And for those who are listening to this,
please
I'll
log
try to
on at BaltimorePositive.com. I want to sit down. I'm getting a seat. I'm sitting low here because should I get popcorn like Michael? Like you haven't even said this is the best radio ever. Mueller wouldn't approve of this because it's not green roomed. I have no idea what you're going to show me right now, right? Like,
well,
literally,
and I hope this isn't a dud because you're only allowed a certain number of test searches. So I think we should be okay. But I'm going to share my screen real quick. And I'm going to try to explain as much as I can to people who are listening. But I strongly recommend people go to your website, to your YouTube channel, and find this video to actually see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So we're at the OpenAI website, and they have two products that I'm going to talk about. The first one they call DALL-E, and basically it's an artificial intelligence tool that you can use to generate custom art. So you're like, what are you talking about? So I'm for those of you who can't see this, there's a search bar here, and I put.
So if I say draw a purple raven, it will do that, right?
Like, well, I even did something more. I did a 3D render of a raven with the city of Pittsburgh in the background.
Okay.
So I know you were famous for taking really cool people to trips. And imagine instead of going to Cincinnati, went to Pittsburgh, and you wanted a graphic of a raven overlooking the city of Pittsburgh as if we were going to.
So it would look like Sunday night football when we, you know, we're converging on the city. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we can riff right now because I hit the button generate maybe 3 seconds ago. There's a status bar going while this AI system is trying to chew.
So this
one
is sort of the same thing as when I put a picture in and I want to render it in a Rembrandt and make myself look real sexy. It renders, right? It's thinking is what it's doing pretty much.
It
right?
is, but the example you said, you gave them an image of already. This, we didn't give them any image. We just gave them words. Check that out.
Now look at that. So there's a giant black raven with if you said raven bird with purple eyes, it would have purple eyes, right?
Absolutely.
So it basically, so what do I have to pay this website to generate art for me like this that I could use at Baltimore Positive? Because I would love to I would love to just speak and have images generated for my website. That would be very, very helpful for me.
Well, it's interesting because I'm just using the free tool right now, but I clicked on the image and I just downloaded it, and I can now put this. You could have put this on your website with a, you know, hey, we still have X number of seats left on the bus for blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we have a raven perched on a hill overlooking Pittsburgh as if it's about to swoop in there. And that took all of 10 seconds to render. And
so do me a favor, go back and put something, type something in for me. Okay. I want, let's play some AI here. Because I know you're going to show me how to use this nefariously. So I want to begin the process right now because that's who I am. Right?
I'm not going to teach you how to use it nefariously.
No, hold on. Go. I put this in here. I want a 3D rendering of Lamar Jackson in a New York Jets jersey. Let's see if it'll do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, I want to know how, like, ESPN does this in 5 minutes. I mean, they had Lamar dealt off to the Jets like Tuesday morning, right? Render 3D in New York Jets green jersey. Put green. Put green. Just see if that helps.
I don't know if there's any trademark issues that they won't do this.
I don't know. Let's find out. That's why I'm asking. I don't know. I don't know. I'm figuring it'll go out on the internet, find out what Lamar Jackson looks like, come up with some artistic version of what he might look like, render it, move it around. Find a Joe Namath picture or a Ken O'Brien picture or, I mean, Boomer Esiason played for, it could be anybody, and then slap a number 8 on it and then have Lamar smiling and he'll be sitting in Shea Stadium or something like that. What do you think? What's this going to come up with?
I don't know, man. This would be really impressive because
we're trying to make this segment interesting, Mike.
That's right. Let's go.
Here, so
let's see what happens.
See what happens.
We're seconds away.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I could use the third one with the B on it. I could use that
right
one.
Here.
I could use that one.
Right. And I mean, you know, we could have done an oil impressionist painting. Show Lamar Jackson, show a raven in a Matisse, you know, like a style of Matisse. And it would have done that. But here's now the text search. And this is wild.
Okay.
So we just did the graphics. Now we have a text search. And I said, give step-by-step instructions on how to break in your baseball glove. Remember as kids, we're like, you know, hey, how do you break in a baseball glove? So I'm going to hit submit and we're going to see in real time.
Begin by softening the leather of your glove with a baseball glove conditioner or petroleum jelly. Rub it into the leather with a cloth, focusing on areas that are particularly stiff or dry. Then place one hand inside the glove and press gently down to shape it around your fingers and thumb as you would when playing catch. This will help break in any tight spots around the palm area and along your fingers. Use a baseball to form creases in key areas such as between the thumb and forefinger, where you'd expect to see a pocket form when catching a ball. You can also use another ball if you need to further shape other parts of the glove, like near your pinky.
Wow. I mean, that was just insane. I mean, I picked that randomly, not knowing. Now, sometimes it said these things aren't 100%, but that seems pretty interesting. And then I'm like, okay, how about write a nursery rhyme comparing baseball to football?
All right, so you can just tell it to do anything. And now I'm going to be reading something really funny that I'm not going to. Baseball and football, they both have their charms. One is played with a bat, the other with arms. Baseball involves skill and strategy galore. Football requires strength and an iron will core. Both sports require speed, agility, and grace. But when it comes to which one I prefer in this race, I'll take baseball every single time. It's my favorite game of all time.
Wow.
I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
That's right. Now this is a machine, but think about like your first computers when you had to wait for things to load and programs to start and you're sitting there twiddling.
So do me a favor, write a nursery rhyme comparing Ravens to Orioles. Write a nursery rhyme comparing Ravens to Orioles. It's going to do a bird nursery rhyme. Let's see if it's any good. I'm going to read it out loud as it goes. Here we go. AI in progress with Mike Rosenfeld, our chief digital officer, who's doing weird, wild stuff. That's weird, wild stuff, Johnny. Two birds so dark and feathered, one from the north, one from the south. The raven's wings are black as coal, while the Orioles flashes gold about. Both have a voice that calls out clear, though their songs sound quite different near. The raven has its calling croak, and the Orioles warble sweetly spoke.
Now we could have.
This is good, right? I came up with this myself, Mike.
That's right.
It's author,
right.
Nestor Aparicio, poet.
Now I could have done it. Do a poem in the style of Edgar Allan Poe about an Oriole.
Do me a favor. Do me a nursery rhyme written by Andrew Dice Clay. Comparing the Ravens to the Orioles. Can you put that in? Let's see what happens. Write a nursery rhyme.
Who knows what's going to happen here? Let's see.
This is why it's fun. This is why it's dangerous. Mike Rosenfeld, tell anybody what a chief digital officer does besides entertaining said client with sports radio station that is morphed into Baltimore Positive.
Before I do that, is this what you want me to do?
Write a nursery rhyme in the style of Andrew Dice Clay comparing Ravens.
I'd be surprised.
Dude, if nothing else, this is going to get me hired at 98 Rock, okay?
Right.
If nothing else, maybe I get my press pass back. So, all right, go. Ravens are dark and strong. Orioles are long and light and long. The Ravens fly high above the trees while Orioles chirp pretty songs to please. Ravens swoop down with a loud call. Orioles flutter by in awe. Ravens have sharp talons so they can prey, but Orioles build nests out of hay.
Well, clearly that wasn't in the style of Andrew Dice.
Oh!
Yeah, that's right. All we did was add Andrew Dice Clay, but this is a totally different nursery rhyme.
Can I go back to like middle school? I'd never have to do anything.
Yeah,
this is going to help me breeze eighth grade, dude.
Well,
probably 12th grade.
This is great. Write a 2000, let's just do that. Write a 2000 word essay about the history of Baltimore as an eighth grader.
Oh no. So this is like a Wikipedia cheat, right? Like kind of sort of, right?
Right.
So now we're getting nefarious. This is kind of like when we took the calculator into school. Remember that?
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, because you could cheat. You did. You know, if you ain't cheating, you're not trying, right?
Now, when I was researching for the segment, and it's writing, so we'll kind of summarize in a moment. There was a company that was created an app to help teachers determine if people were using this to write their stuff.
Baltimore City is a unique place with a long and complex history. It was founded in 1729 by the British and has since been home to many different cultures, including Germanic, African-American, Irish, Italian, and Jewish people. What about my people? They haven't been to Highlandtown lately. The city has seen its fair share of tragedy over the years, but also experienced periods of growth and prosperity. I love that. It's Baltimore positive. The first settlers of Baltimore were English colonists, imagine that, who arrived in 1729 after receiving a charter from Queen Anne. They named their new settlement Baltimore Town. I like that. I'm going to use that. Yeah. After Lord Baltimore, who granted them the charter, the town quickly grew as it became an important port on the Chesapeake Bay for trade between Europe and North America. So this is sort of like Googling it, but asking it way more specifically, correct?
Well, no, because Google will do a search and find something that's already been written.
Right. It's a Wikipedia. It's already been created. Okay.
This is doing it. This is, and it's all in its banks, and it continues to learn, right? And so you asked, what is an outsourced chief digital officer? And that's a great segue to the last search that I did. And if we want to play a little bit more, we can. But, you know, I help small to mid-sized businesses win digitally, whether it's their website, their apps. They don't know how to do their social media strategy. They don't know how to do an email strategy. They don't know how to pull it all together to grow their business.
Well, even if they're smart like me and I'm good at a lot of things, there's a whole different level of being good on the internet. You know, I thought 15 years ago when I built WNST.net, I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, how hard can this be? I'll learn. I'll figure it out. You never figure it out because it always evolves for things like this, right?
For sure. And for me, the frustrating thing is I help my clients in ways that it's very difficult to help out my own business. And the reason for that is that, like for you, people know what a sports radio is. You know, for automobile, you know, dealers, they know they know Ford dealerships. But no one really is familiar yet with what an outsourced chief digital officer is. So think about it. No one's going to Google typing outsourced chief digital officer. So what I have to do is do some maybe old school techniques to get the word out about what an outsourced chief digital officer was. So I was thinking, and as I was giving these examples, what if I was to ask this to create a marketing email explaining the benefits of using outsourced chief digital officers?
Wow. Okay.
And I crap you not that what they came out with is better than whatever anything I've been able to come out with for myself. So it basically says the subject line should be unlock the benefits of outsourced chief digital officers. And it basically says, are you looking
Dear Nestor, are you looking for ways to accelerate your digital transformation efforts? A great option is to outsource a chief digital officer, CDO, who can provide experience, leadership, and guidance. Here are some key benefits that you can expect when outsourcing a CDO. Expertise. An outsourced CDO brings in-depth knowledge about digital strategy, technology, and operations. They understand how all the pieces fit together and will be able to quickly identify areas where improvements can be made. Number two, flexibility. An outsourced CDO allows you to scale up or down your digital initiatives as needed to without having to...
And it stopped because this is a trial.
Oh.
That's the tease. But
is it $9.99 a month? What's it cost to get this thing?
It's great. I don't actually know, but I will. but this is what I wanted to show you. Now, we can sit here. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. We can think about all the great things that this can do, but we've already stumbled upon, you know, eighth graders cheating on their...
It's more fun than TikTok so far.
That's right. You know, but you can imagine, you know, someone in Russia, for example, using this to try to build disinformation campaigns about the American, the U.S. political system, and coming, and by the way, coming up with it in perfect English, you know, instead of broken English, so that you
they can
so
write it in the nursery rhyme if they want to. It's Andrew, like Andrew Dice Clay, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Those were really good poems. I'm going to steal those. They're pretty good.
Yeah. So this is pretty heavy stuff, and probably hopefully things you haven't seen yet, and hopefully your listeners have heard of.
That AI did blow my mind that it wrote that a really fun poem that would have gotten me an A plus in any grade. It would have got me an A plus third year of college, right? If I would have come up with that as a poem.
Think of all the times where you're struggling to get an image that you have the rights to. You know, that you have to go to the generic shaking of hands or whatever. And now this came up with a custom image of a raven overlooking Pittsburgh. I mean, we could have gone flying over their stadium. We could have put that in there, right? I mean, it's just incredible. And then you have all these unique imagery that you can post to your social media accounts. You can post to your website. I mean,
all right, sign me up. But here's the hard part, dude. I don't know what it costs, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I came prepared with 90.
This is almost like you and me really getting together, like we really do in real life. Like, dude, this satellite's great. This otter thing's great. What's it cost? By the way, the otter thing's great. I mean, to the transcription we've added to Baltimore Positive. I mean, these are things that people like you make sure that things happen for people like me to make my thing better, right? Literally.
For sure. AI.
AI is going to make Baltimore Positive better, don't you? Deep down.
So I have pricing.
Okay.
On the image side, it's 2 cents an image.
That's what they charge?
Yes. Two cents an image. And that's at 1024 by 1024 pixels, which is
web optimized.
Let me see if I can find more on the other side. So that's OpenAI.
How much did that poem cost us?
Learn more model language. Okay, so here we go. Multiple models, each with different capabilities and price.
How much
points.
Would I pay for that poem right now? I'm wondering, but go ahead.
It looks like 1,000 tokens. It looks like, and I'm not kidding you, maybe 5 cents. You would have been able to get 1,000 tokens, and 1,000 tokens gets you more than everything we just did right now. So
for 5 cents.
Relatively cheap. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the goal is to have you, like, for example, you can.
The goal is to have you use it 100 times a day. So you're giving
exactly.
Them,
you but
know,
you can use
$1
this,
a day.
You can plug it into your live chat. So instead of having a human there, you can have there. When I was reading controversial stuff, there is a app that does mental health consulting that uses this, not instead of a therapist, but to help answer questions. So they'll have this open on one screen as they're getting a question on the other to make sure that they put it in the proper verbiage, and then they paste it into their thing. I mean, it's just so much.
Oh, the world's changing, man. Really is, right?
Yeah. So this is my quick interpretation of the pricing, but the pricing is available online. Once again, I have no interest in this company.
Dude, I was ready to give them $10 a month. Now you're telling me it might only cost me like $1.50 a month.
Yeah.
And
I suggest everyone go in with both eyes wide open if they choose to do this. I am not promoting this. I am using this as an example. But if you use it for the right reasons.
Yeah, right on.
Don't be a slut.
Hey, man, I can't be responsible for what people do, but I can tell them that don't gamble irresponsibly. Don't drink and drive. You know, like I'm good. Yeah. I mean, you can do all that at Drug City, by the way. You can buy lottery tickets. You can buy booze, but please do it responsibly, right?
What I don't want is someone bringing down the electric grid in the region saying, how did you figure this out? I was listening to a segment with Nestor and Mike. He talked about this OpenAI.
Cost me 12 cents to do that.
That's right. Yeah, it was exactly. So cheap. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Rosenfeld is our dude. He is Web Connection. He is our outsourced chief digital officer here at WNST and Baltimore Positive. If you have been listening to this unique segment. It's still been interesting from a listening standpoint because I'm writing poems while we speak, and they're really clever if you listened. You can find out more at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. And of course, find Mike at webconnection.com as well. All right, back to Lamar. Is there anything you want to say about Lamar before I let you go off into the distance here?
Yeah. It's pretty
struggling.
Bad.
Oh boy.
It is. I'll just riff what's coming to my mind is when he was drafted and how competitive he was in saying that he's going to prove everyone wrong. And we've had two seasons in which things seem to be looking pretty good to be really competitive. And unfortunately, and I'm not suggesting he was faking, he was not available to the team. I think of Calais Campbell, who came back another year, sacrificed his body, played hurt, including in the playoff game, and their leader was unavailable, and it's frustrating. And it's, you know, as a business owner, it's a lot of money to invest in a salary cap here to give to a player who may not be available to you. So it's tricky. And as a Baltimorean, I'm a bit embarrassed to be in the national news with a fiasco, what appears to be a fiasco as it relates to the player and the team.
But if they gave him $200 million last year, he still would have been injured on Sunday, right? I mean, like literally, like I can't get past the fact that he runs in the linebackers. I've never been able to get past that fact. And now that I get to say, I told you so, or whatever I get to say, which is, I think, and I've said this week, I think, Steve's risk tolerance as a human being, as a billionaire, as a smart guy in many cases, would say that this experiment, they called it an experiment 5 years ago. The experiment hasn't produced fruit the way they wish it would have because he runs in the linebackers. And maybe that's fundamentally the reason nobody did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know what else to say, but I think that they're not going to be the ones who invest in this. Although I don't think the Dolphins or the Buccaneers or the Jets or the Saints, all these suitors for Lamar, somebody will be happy to guarantee him the money because there's a lot of sizzle with the stake.
Yeah. Well, look, I remember vividly them saying most quarterbacks that get injured are in the pocket behind the line of scrimmage, not scrambling. And in fact, I believe definitely this injury this year, he was sacked behind the line. And last year, I believe it was behind the line as well. So granted, we can't say how much wear and tear running in the linebackers it is, but that's not when he left the field these two times injured. It's like any other quarterback behind the line and all of that. And then there's the ambiguity of it's a grade one. It's 1 to 3 weeks. Actually, it's a grade two. It's 2 to 4 or 4 to 6. And this last game was in week six. And then all of a sudden it's a borderline grade three. I don't know how that happens. You know,
it's kind of like the hurricane was going to hit Alabama when Trump was president, kind of that way. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, man, he doesn't have an agent. And if there was ever. And he's going to get his money because somebody's going to fall in love with him. He's going to get his money. I would just say that the last couple of weeks since the injury, him not having an agent, really not in his best interest. And I can continue to say not in his best interest when he's guaranteed $194 million by the Dolphins 6 weeks from now or whatever that is. None of his tweets will matter, Hollywood Brown, his girlfriend, whether he was injured, whether he didn't play for us, whether we got our feelings hurt. None of that's going to matter because he's Teflon when it comes. Somebody's going to pay him. Somebody's going to buy in. So I don't think he's done anything to hurt his value or any of the things that you and I would think, well, that's not good for his image, telling people to perform fellatio and like all of these things that he's done. None of that washes out when somebody's ready to give Eric three number ones and turn the franchise over to him because they can sell it to their fan base and they have a coach that would believe in it. And I think that's another thing, you know, finding a coach or a GM is going to say, I'm going to bet my career on him the next 3 years, being ready to play and winning and becoming a better pocket passer and staying safe as he gets older and slows down, and we're going to have to pay him $50 million, and we're not going to be able to recruit a wide receiver in that offense to play with him the way we need to play, and we're going to give him $50 million, and we're giving him number one draft picks. We can't draft anybody. Like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I've seen enough desperation around Deshaun Watson to know that there should be way more heat for Lamar Jackson than Deshaun Watson, given his jurisprudence situation, versus Lamar just hurting his knee. Lamar's not injured for life. This is a fascinating thing, but it's tumultuous for the organization. In an organization where they really like stability, they don't like these. They don't like Nestor on the radio talking about this time of year.
Well, here's the thing: as a business owner and an entrepreneur, I look at Lamar as from a personal standpoint. Do I know him? No. As someone who seems to be a solid young kid who's figuring things out, he's young. He's younger than
he's same 25 age as my years youngest old with $40 million, and he has a statue built for him already. How many 25-year-olds in the world, in the history of the world, have ever had a statue dedicated for them, ever?
So you were right. So he seems to be a solid guy who's trying to make real multimillionaire decisions without the benefit of an agent. Now, with that said, I'm not suggesting that agents are pure and all good and always looking out for their clients' interests. But I often say to my kids, why do I see all of these other lesser quarterbacks doing TV commercials? Why do I see them, you know, sponsor? And then I say to myself, as a business owner, you know, you spent, like, I accept credit cards. So every transaction, I'm giving X percent away, but that's a business decision so that I don't have to chase people for money. Or they put X percent into advertising and marketing, not knowing if that's going to give them.
Hey, Justin Herbert's got a commercial. He didn't want anything.
Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, it seems to me that the small percentage points that you would give to an advisor and an agent pales in comparison.
You're only giving him money he's finding for you if you're doing it right.
That's right.
It's like having a salesperson.
Right. So to me, as a business person, I'm like, I see why you wouldn't want to give away points to someone else who you perceive as maybe not providing the value in relationship to those points you're giving away. But I can't imagine that more often than not, that agent is getting you more than you would have otherwise, whether it's, you know, commercials or endorsements or whatever. And I don't see Lamar all the time getting endorsements. I see Kyler Murray.
Would go to Lamar and say, Lamar, forget the contract. I'm here to help you, advise you, make sure money, legal, all image, branding, endorsement, all of that. I will make you more money, and I will work for free until I make you more money. How about that? Right. You know, like, I'll get money back guaranteed, as Jimmy Buffett once sang, right?
And it's not just the advising on money. It's the advising on, yeah, promise me you won't tweet anymore until I got this taken care of, and insulating him from the Ravens so that they don't have to tell him, you want top
Listen,
three
the kid
money.
Doesn't this have good judgment, right? I mean, we've seen his decisions in social media. He is prone to bad judgment in the real world, right? I mean, we all are, right? But he's written things that I would never write or say in any circumstance anywhere and expect to still keep my living, right? My brand, right? And he comes from a different circumstance and a different era and a different culture and a different place and a different age and, like, all of that. But the real world still expects different things. But again, all of these people. Did you see John Angelos's act the other day with Dan Connolly?
I did. My son in Chicago sent me this, and he's like, "Do you know this guy?" I'm like, "Barely, because he never speaks." I know his dad. I used to see his dad all the time, and he's like, "He's a dick." I mean, that's exactly what my son said, and I watched it.
Right,
and it was.
If that's your coming out party, man.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that's blown smoke up my rectum in recent years, John's, it's going to be all different. You know, he's different than it. Yeah. Yeah. He's different than his dad. He's breathing and out loud now and out in front of it and thinks he's in charge, and worse than his dad because he's born on third and thinks he had a triple. I mean, his
Right.
dad at least worked for his money and, you know, God bless whatever his, I mean, all of his dad's shortcomings as a sentient human. His father had real shortcomings as a human being. They were pretty well documented, I think, in the lawsuit with him and his brother. But like, I'm on team Dan Connolly, and Dan Connolly's never really cared for me. I don't think he's going to come on the show. I don't know. I've always enjoyed Dan. I hope he comes on the show as a journalist. As a journalist who was treated like that in the public space, I was treated like that and just thrown out. You know, I didn't get that moment. I got in 2006, and now he's going to talk about having journalists down looking at book. He's full of shit. You know what I mean?
I think you said Wednesday. Come on in on Wednesday. This is all about MLK. Come on in, and you want transparency? I'll show you transparency. I just want to know why the Ravens did their deal, and you're still going year to year and making people like me, who went through the Colts just as you did, leaving.
Right.
Wonder what's going on here? You know, why don't you just tell
when
tell
you're
us
asked
you're
about
here.
It, you can't, the one time you speak, you can't just say, well, we're here for Martin Luther King Day, but listen, nicely, like, I've made a decision to open my books for you all. This is my big announcement. And I'm going to invite Nestor Aparicio. I'm going to invite Richard Justice. I'm going to invite Ken Rosenthal. We're going to invite anyone who's ever had a question about money in sports, Neil DeMoss, the critics. We're going to invite the critics in because we're really transparent, and that's what we're doing. Instead, this is a circus. How about the part where he said, I'm not taking any more of your questions? Dude, it's a press conference. Like, the sense of entitlement, the sense of mafia that's there, the sense
right.
of I'm in charge and no soup for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's who Bisciotti is. That's who Lamar is at this point. That's who John Harbaugh is if you saw how he treated Melissa Stark the other night, right? Like, literally, John Harbaugh. Well, it's in the game. You can't expect him to not be an a-hole. No, you can. He makes $12 million a year, and he's a professional. And nobody else in any culture, place, time would speak like that on live television on behalf of their brand. In given an audience where you literally have to utter three sentences, you can direct off the question and say anything you want to say. You could go up and say, I don't care what the question is. I'm going to talk about the quarterback, the offense, the turnover, and how we're going to be better in the second half, and have some formulated, here's a Tony Robbins thought for you. Be in control of your state.
Right.
Be in control of your state. You know what I mean? You're the face of the organization on live national television, and this pretty girl from Baltimore, whose professional job it is to ask you two silly questions about the first half that may be positive or may be negative. You can turn them into positive. You're the coach. That's why we're paying you $12 million a year. So, like, they can't get Harbaugh to act right. Bisciotti, Chad Steele, who is his own punchline at this point in my world, and me witnessing this for 20 years, and then you wonder why this isn't normal? I mean, the kid went out on Twitter and made a fool of himself, comes back, and they tell him, it's a good idea on behalf of our brand, and we're paying you $23 million as an employee, that what you did's not good. What you did's not good. Please apologize. No, I'm not doing that. And then he goes out in front of everybody on Friday and says only his girlfriend could talk him out of taking it down from Twitter. And I mean, dude, that's a pretty big tell, right, that teammates, grown-ups, coaches, the people who pay your salary at $23 million a year can't get you to behave. And the only one that can talk sense into you is your girlfriend. I mean, are we romper room? I mean, seriously.
Well, you said romper room. Go back to the fact he's 25 years old and he's got some maturing to do. You know,
pissed on Bisciotti. Harbaugh. I mean, look at what Jim Irsay's doing out in Indianapolis. Nobody's his keeper. He's just doing his thing. I mean, look at Dan Snyder. He's done all of this stuff, and he's still got a middle finger up saying, you're not going to get rid of me whenever you get rid of me. Dan Snyder has made $2 billion since the season kicked off. His franchise is worth $5 billion in September. It's now worth $7 billion. And all he's done is hold on to being a scumbag that he's been accused of being from the beginning, and they can't get rid of him. Look at Peter. The fact that this kid could sit here and be a disgrace to Dan Connolly the other day is a testament to the fact that everybody's hated his old man. They all tried to get rid of him. They gave him everything he wanted in the Washington deal, and they still are entangled from that because they can't sell the Nationals. They can't sell the Orioles. I mean, all of the issues that are around the business, all of this is led on by letting these people do whatever they want because they can. Because they
I will say,
and Lamar's going to do whatever he wants because he can, because the Jets are going to give him $200 million in 6 weeks, or somebody is.
Right. Yeah. Look, I will say that Dan Connolly, in my opinion, handled himself extremely well. What's really sad is I can't imagine that Angelos went into that not expecting someone to pivot to ask him a question like that. And he was prepared.
No, because he thought I was locked out. He thought that there was a friends and family and no real questions would be asked, because that is an Orioles press conference. That's what they do. That's his life. He's never – I had to ambush him at a tourism event 4 years ago, and now the tourism people don't speak to me anymore. Because it was bad for me while he's up there singing high hosannas with a real journalist. I told Christine Brennan, I text her all morning, and I said to her, I'm coming and I'm going to ask him a real question. I want you to be prepared for that. And she's like, I'm a journalist. I'm encouraging you to do that. I will give you a rebuttal.
Right.
Because she's a journalist. He
what
put
was the
himself
question?
On stage with a journalist to act like I'm doing journalism things. In the same way when Kevin Byrne and I got sideways after Ray Rice, and Kevin Byrne marched Steve out with Jane Miller and said she's a journalist. I'm like, Jane Miller's not a journalist today. Because her boss is under the thumb of the guy she's interviewing. And that's a fact.
Right.
And that's not journalism then. That's an advertorial, and it's a safe space. Because your billionaire needs a safe space. John thought he was in a safe space on Martin Luther King Day, sitting next to the mayor, and he thought that the miscreants were weeded out. They were left off like Chad Steele leaving me out of press conferences. They don't want that in press conferences. They want press conferences to be with Putin. You ever seen a Putin press conference, by the way?
I see it. He's sitting behind a. I don't know.
No. They do this thing. This is like AI. This is going to blow your mind. I'm not going to show it, but I want you to Google it. Every year around this time in Russia, and I'm not making this up, so this is not me being funny. It's not a punchline, although I'm a funny guy. I'm being serious. It looks like, and I'm not kidding you, a WWE wrestling match 15 years ago, and I don't watch it anymore, where everybody had signs during Raw was War. Everyone came to the arena with a sign. He does that. It's like a Springsteen concert. People have signs up, and it looks like he's randomly answering questions about the state. I'm not kidding you. Please go do it, because that's what democracy looks like in Russia, because it's propaganda in the way that John Harbaugh's press conference was propaganda Sunday night, because I've been locked out, right? There were four reporters. When Harbaugh's season ended the other night, there's four reporters in the room. You only see John, and he looks around the room, and he waves high. He made googly eyes at a reporter on the podium after he got eliminated. I was blown away. I was watching it on TV, and he made googly eyes, and he had a warm, really warm hello for someone who walked in on the press conference, and I thought it must have been a pretty girl. It was Bill Roden from the New York Times, because when the press conference was over, I saw Bill stand up. And I've always been in that room. So you make that room now what Putin has done. And so you're asking about John Angelos and about John Harbaugh and about Steve Bisciotti. I mean, I was whisked away. They would have had me arrested at the Breakers down in Florida had I walked across the courtyard and interrupted my competitors, Jameson Hensley, Jonas Schaefer, Jeff Zrebeck, sitting and talking to the owner of the team. I experienced that last year. And then I was thrown out when I was asked what WTF, then I'm retaliated against. So it's going to be really interesting now that John has promised to open the books for the baseball team, right? That he's not going to open the books. You know what I mean? Like, he's now this made this ludicrous, crazy promise that he a check he can't cash, right? So he's a liar into eternity now at his first press conference.
Right.
And your son thinks he's a, what would you say your son think he, oh, right?
A dick.
Yeah, dick, right. So, and he'll never be able to fix that because he'll never do another one. He'll right. never do another one. Yeah. You we know, won't hear from John Angelos again for a long, long time. That's my prediction.
Well, in summary, if he had his finger on the pulse of the city, I mean, they're from here, so he grew up here.
He doesn't live here.
But he grew up here. If, you know, when we had a football owner who swore he wasn't moving the team, even though all signs appeared to be like he was thinking about moving the team, and swore he wasn't going to move the team, and then moved the team.
I have no intention of moving the goddamn team.
And then you have two sports teams.
I haven't been to Corona. Dude, I can do this all day because I did it all during the 90s. I did it back when Chad Steele was in diapers and we were dreaming of having a team here.
And you have two sports teams. One is negotiating what appears to be in good faith and just announced a long-term extension to stay. And then the other team who has rumors about infighting, brothers, lawsuits, moving the team to Nashville because that's where he lives, blah, 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 blah.
It's not rumors of infighting. It's real infighting.
Right. And doing one-year deal. And then chastises a reporter who says, can you just tell us basically what's up so that the people in which you grew up with and your peers who went through the Colts debacle can sleep at night not worrying that
let me tell you what John Angelos did in beating up Dan Connolly is that any of these kids at the Baltimore Sun or the Banner's going to hire or any, you know, reporter over at WJZ, they're going to be scared to death to ask real questions of him, which is right. exactly what throwing me out did for Chad Steele. You think Jameson Hensley's not afraid of getting thrown out at this point and having his not be able to feed his family? You know, if he gets out of line or reports something untoward? I mean, it's insane what's going on with journalists, right? And this was out in front of every – I mean, this is a legitimate journalist, gives his life to this, travels around the owners' meetings and winter meetings, watch a lot of really, really, really shitty baseball. Dan Connolly has seen the dregs of all of it and ask a legitimate question and gets treated like that. Yeah. It's gross. It's disgraceful. It really is. It's disgraceful.
It is. Yeah. All right, brother. This is good stuff.
Love you, Mike Rosenfeld. Web Connection, outsourced chief digital officer. Ask him to write you a poem about the Ravens and the Orioles, and he knows how to do it. He can do anything. Kind of reminds me of my wife in 2007 and 8 got the first phone. She had a Storm. Do you remember this? Web-enabled. It was mm-hmm. web-enabled. And in 2007, I remember being on the corner that's now literally, I mean, horrible to say this, the corner where the squeegee boy, the murder happened on the corner. It's literally that corner. 414 wasn't there. It was a parking lot. It was the old McCormick parking lot. So we're talking back in the aughts, right? And I remember standing on the corner and a guy was on the corner without the internet in the old world and was looking for something. And this is before like Google Maps and you could just say, he was downtown as a tourist and a little, not bewildered or scared or lost, just sort of like, hey, can you tell me where? And I said, ask my wife. She knows everything. No, she's got the internet. Like, she can look it up. I mean, she knows everything. Right. So that was the first time I had a chance to say that. But now I can say that about you, that you can do anything. You have AI.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That was a pretty good segment.
My family would disagree, but I try. I strive to be as good as I can.
Still not as cool as his Van Halen belt buckle, but much cheaper if you can write a Raven poem for 3 cents. So I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I appreciate Mike Rosenfeld being the first person to deal with the ire of my I told you so about John Angelos. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive, even though that wasn't all positive.